The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow. We'll get into it all, but we should start with Armistice Day, Veterans Day. It was, as it was later changed, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. That was when the Germans officially surrendered, the armistice was signed, and World War I ended.
Good and morning, Molly.
All veterans.
Welcome back. And it is Veterans Day, and thank you to all the men and women out there for their service.
Absolutely.
And this is a day to commemorate that and remember that and honor that. So hopefully we will do the best we can, and then we eventually will bury the Bears.
Well, they surrendered in their own way, did they not? Maybe on the Hail Mary play against Washington. I don't know what has happened. And obviously, David, you watched it closely and commented on it yesterday and did a great job. And thanks to everyone who helped me get through my little ordeal. I just wonder, are these things related? Are the Bears, doesn't it feel like something has turned and something has gone horribly wrong to the point where it feels irretrievable this morning?
Well, I think that the Bears are in a situation that calls for some action. And every NFL season, you wait for what's going to happen and what direction they're going to go. They returned from London feeling pretty good about themselves, and the bye week ended up being the worst Sunday of the year because things, you know, weren't continuing in the positive direction. Something changed. They lost their mojo, and three straight losses in the way that they lost these games now calls for some sort of response. Not necessarily from the head coach, doesn't have to be from the depth chart. This is bigger than that. This is something that we need to see a response from the general manager, the chairman, the team president. The Bears are in full-fledged crisis mode, and what they put on the field yesterday is unacceptable. And now they're in the midst of a mid-season crisis that requires action. And I think that I'd be really surprised if there weren't some news today or weren't some action this week to respond to that, because this is not acceptable, and they need to take a very clear-headed approach to problem solving, a very practical approach to what's wrong. And we could go through all the numbers. It all starts with the offense. And I just don't know that we saw this coming, and I don't know that they can do anything but respond to it. And if they don't, then if they don't respond to the coaching crisis, they don't respond to the what's going on, then Ryan Poles ultimately is going to have to start. We're going to ask asking hard questions about him as well.
Yeah, I don't argue with any of that. As you know, as we've talked about quite often, the NFL, you know, not for long, the NFL is the kind of league where you can win a game, it happens, You can win two games, but you better be on high alert. Because if you lose three in a row, then someone's got to go. That is a general accepted belief in some circles of the league. Now, I don't know where the standard is set here, because that has happened before. The Bears are in the midst of a rebuild. The Bears are supposedly rebuilt coming into the year. The Bears have different expectations than they've had before, but they have very similar problems. Despite a draft in which we felt they had drafted touchdowns, they can't score touchdowns. They can't score points. To go against a team that was generally speaking the worst in the NFL and wind up being significantly worse than that team is the sort of happening that has to be responded to. There you just can't let it go. You can have a mistake happen and lose a game. You can't let that carry over two times and now three times.
You scored 3 points against the worst team in football. Yep. You gave up 9 sacks, the most sacks that you've given up in a game in 14 years. You have now gone back-to-back games without an offensive touchdown the first time in 20 years. That's happened. 23 straight possessions without an offensive touchdown, and you were 1-for-4 on third downs. If you're looking for ammunition, if you're looking for evidence that cries for change or proves that you need to do something about this state of affairs because you have a rookie quarterback that is regressing and is at the stage of the season where if you don't provide some sort of help, if you don't throw him a lifeline, if you don't respond to this, you're going to ruin his career arc as well. So this is a serious situation in terms of for a $6 billion a corporation. This is not just, boy, that was a bad day at the office on Sunday. This is a chronic problem that year after year continues to repeat itself. And if the Bears, you know, want to think that this is isolated, they're wrong, it's systemic, and they need to address it.
Caleb Williams is not just regressing. He's put in peril. You can't leave a guy in a game knowing you're just going to get him sacked. And they've done that now for 2 straight games. Under the guise of trying to develop something, you're putting him in harm's way. And you're right. We see what happens to quarterbacks that get beaten up like that. It's not a pretty situation. I don't understand why they're not acknowledging what is unfolding in front of them.
I don't think they know how. And I think one time, when you see it last week and you refer to him being left in the game, and this week it was different circumstances and the same kind of blind spot that they have. And when I say they don't know how, they understand what to do and what they should have done perhaps, and they may regret it. They can't admit it because they know what that means to publicly acknowledge something that everyone else sees. It's a failure in leadership. It's a failure in decision-making. And something happens in the course of a game where the Bears tend to freeze up. And it's not pretty. And it certainly isn't acceptable and shouldn't be. What we're looking at here now is how everybody understands what needs to happen. Now we're going to talk about the process. And there's got to be somebody in that building at Halas Hall who understands what needs to be done and how to execute it. I don't know that there is that person there. I do know this. If Kevin Warren is the guy they brought in to speak with lofty rhetoric and to put the standard that you referred to higher than it has been ever or in years, then this is the time where he needs to put some action with his words. And this is the time where he needs to back it up. If you indeed are the guy that wants to speak of all these grandiose plans you have for the stadium project and where the franchise can be and what you want to accomplish on the field, then you cannot possibly sit there silently while all this happens on your watch, because it is on your watch. So if you mean what you say, now you have to put some actions behind those words.
And what are you anticipating happening today? Do you think that will happen today? And if it doesn't happen today, what does that say?
I don't think he's going to do anything with the head coach today. I don't think that they're going to do much with the head coach this season, perhaps. I think check on a weekly basis, because everything should be fluid, and I think it will be. What I think happens today, and again, everybody's talking to people or they're hearing stuff, but there are going to be a lot of rumors out there. I don't know how you can meet with the assembled media and look ahead to what's next. And what's next is the teeth of your schedule, beginning with the Green Bay Packers Sunday at Soldier Field. If you're Matt Eberflus, I do not know how you get in front of the microphone today without announcing some sort of staff shakeup or change. Whether it's firing Shane Waldron or demoting him, you cannot stand pat and embrace the status quo. If you do, you should leave too. You should leave first, because if you don't respond to this, then you don't deserve to be the head coach of an NFL team. Because what we're looking at, the stats that I just read, what you see on tape doesn't lie. You have to try to get win back some of the respect you have lost in that locker room and a lot of the respect that you have lost all over the city.
I think the very fact that we've talked about this before, you know, the fans show up, and I know a lot of people left, but the people that stayed around did so to send a message. And we've seen that happen in various administrations, various coaching staffs. When it is time, the crowd wants to be there and let you know that you have to react. And to have as many people stick around just to chant "Fire Flusie" is about as telling as there is in terms of the way the people that follow the team. Teams are a public trust, and that trust will be broken if you don't listen to what the fans want. I'm not saying you have to do it, but I'm saying listen to the call for change.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that it's loud and it's going to get noisy, and it already is, and I understand that. And I think that can be a product of many seasons that aren't headed toward, you know, the kind of change that the Bears, I think, need now. What's different about this situation, I think, than unfortunately others that we can compare it to, is that they began this season with expectations. Yep. And those are dangerous things to have, because just when you let hope seep in, and there was hope on the fan base because there was hype from us, and everything looked like this was a Bear team that was ready to contend. Heck, when they returned from London, I think we felt like this could be a Bears team that could make some noise in the NFC North and potentially be a playoff caliber team. We always said, win more than you lose, end the season in the right direction, and then you're doing your job. That's changed. So what you're seeing on the field is much more significant in terms of calling for change than what you're hearing in the stands. That matters. I'm not denying that. Fans are upset, and you don't want to ignore that, because you can't. Not in Chicago, not in cities like this. But I think what you're seeing on the field is much more alarming and troubling. And I think that is demanding what needs to be done. You cannot stand pat. You cannot embrace the status quo.
You're in crisis, and you're in crisis pretty much in every aspect of your team. And I get it. There have been injuries. There are excuses. You start making those, and you don't start reacting to things. All that does is just, as you kind of hinted at, puts more heads on the guillotine.
It does, and you have a locker room that needs some direction, and you have a locker room that is splintering and you guys looking for leaders and looking for answers. And I think when you talk about things that you listen for, cues that you want to point to, our guy at DJ Moore at 8 o'clock, I can't wait to talk to him. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot that he has to say and address. And one of the things that we want him to address is what he said post-game in the locker room about Caleb Williams.
A lot of man coverage. Got a lot of playmakers on the field that can beat man coverage. We just didn't get it done today.
So is that basically diagnosing what's happening to the Bears as defense has tried to shut him down? They're playing man coverage? Or is that a veiled shot at a quarterback that can't get him the ball because he can't have any time to throw, or because he's not as accurate as he would like to be? I don't know. There's a lot of frustration simmering and maybe boiling over, and you hear it out of the locker room. DJ Moore is just one example yesterday that we heard from players that really, I think, are all fed up.
Yeah, and by the way, while we're picking this apart and talking about it, it is Packers week, right? So your biggest rival, your longest rival, is waiting for you. They're coming to town on Sunday. They are significantly better than the team that just humiliated you. And it marks the beginning of a run in the schedule that is going to be significantly more difficult than the one you just went 4-5 with. This is beyond crisis, David. I mean, you are entering the worst part, or the most difficult part of your season, where you supposedly were building up and getting better and getting ready for win time. And guess what? You're now into division games that are kind of worth double on the program, and you don't look like you can win a half. You don't look like you can win a quarter.
That's what makes this week and the response to this so important, because if it were the other way around, and let's say you just got done with the second half of your schedule in the first half of the season, if you reversed when you played these teams and who they were, and you were 4-5, you might look and point to the second half of the season as an opportunity to stack some victories, build some momentum, and go into the offseason, whether it was into the playoffs or just into the offseason with some momentum, because things would be headed in the right direction. The schedule tells you that you need to do something now, because it's really, if you are expecting the Bears to change the way that they play and how well that they play against the teams that are ahead in the next 3 weeks, Packers, Vikings, Lions, you are fooling yourself, and you are kidding yourself to a dangerous level, because this is not happening. They're not going to magically just show up at practice on Wednesday and figure out how to avoid the pre-snap penalties, figure out how to protect the quarterback, be better against the blitz. All the things that didn't happen yesterday and haven't happened in the first half of the season against beatable teams, you're not suddenly going to get better against the teeth of your schedule. So that's why you have to do something now to respond and just look like you're paying attention and you understand this.
Do they have 35 pre-snap penalties now, or is it 36?
I think it's the second most in the league.
So how do you account for pre-snap penalties?
I think it's because of a number of things, but it speaks to the bigger picture. If you want to look at it this way, you have a revolving door of offensive linemen because of attrition, health, ineffectiveness, all the things have contributed to
poor
having
construction.
That's it, because the best depth on your offensive line that Ryan Poles spoke of in August sounds like a foolish thing that he said at the time. It's going to come back and haunt him. Those words were not—they're not coming true. They didn't have quality depth yesterday. They were turnstiles, especially up the middle. Moose Johnson did a terrific job of dissecting everything that was wrong with the Bears yesterday, and being as critical as I can remember an analyst in the booth in real time, because it's so obvious. And their offensive line, everything starts there. And one would think that with a general manager who once played the position, as we famously know, there would be more answers than there are questions. And now that's not the case. So, yes, I think it starts there. The pre-snap penalties are all related to the turnover on the offensive line.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just, it's a reason, not an excuse. Let's put it that way.
There's no excuse for that. Rookie quarterback or no rookie quarterback.
Exactly.
You still have to – the best coach teams are the ones that – regardless of the talent, regardless of how many injuries you have, they play a certain way to a certain standard. They play fundamentally sound, and they're known as being, you know, they're not going to hurt themselves. They're not going to make mistakes. When you have pre-snap penalties, those are self-inflicted wounds, and I don't think smart teams do that. The Bears are not a smart team, and that's why, as much as anything, you have what you have in terms of penalties.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I don't know that there is a simple fix. I think there are solutions, and the first of which has to do with the offensive coordinator. But I don't know that whatever response will work. It's just you've reached a point where you can't keep going the way you're going. And it's, you know, from the minute they did nothing, if you will, during the bye week, they did nothing but stop for a week. I get it. You lose momentum when you slow down, you get a bye, you got things on your side, but it's more than that. There is something more that happened that now is, it looks irretrievable, David. I mean, I look at this team and I look at their schedule and I can't tell you when the break is coming. I can't tell you when they're going to start winning again, if they're going to win another bloody game.
Well, Dustin said that on Friday, and it seemed facetious at the time. Now it might be prescient, because the Bears do not look like they can compete with the likes of the Packers, the Lions, or the Vikings. And they have to play each of those teams twice moving forward. And then, oh, by the way, they go to San Francisco to play the 49ers. They've got the Seattle Seahawks mixed in there. I don't know where the break is in this schedule, and I just don't see them making progress. And that's the discouraging part, is that, you know, what happens is that if you have mismatches in terms of talent or roster, which, like, it looks like the Bears do in their own division, you would like to trust something about, well, maybe they can steal one because of the way they're going to schematically outsmart somebody or compensate for a weakness. Maybe they're going to move the pocket. Maybe they're going to run the football. Maybe they're going to do something that makes you feel better about their chances. We've yet to see that.
They made an adjustment in the game where they had, I think it was two passes where he got rid of the ball quickly and they got a couple first downs. And you're kind of like, well, that's good. And then that just ended. It is frustrating to watch so many elements of the way they play. But I think that's the worst thing, that they can't seem to get the ball out. They've got a major flaw, which is that they can't protect the quarterback. And it doesn't seem like that has somehow changed the way they're playing the game.
They had 9 sacks, and I think on 2 of them specifically, Caleb Williams held on to the football at least 6 seconds. So that's on him.
Sure.
But they did have 9 sacks, and I think that it was reminiscent of the Jay Cutler game in 2010,
yes.
You know, Olin talked about post game, and we'll talk to him at 7 o'clock about. But I think what's different about this is that you've got a young quarterback that is developing bad habits and muscle memory, because he drops into the pocket and all of a sudden his eyes may be falling because he can't look up the field. And when that happens, you start to form these bad habits. And Caleb Williams' regression is not necessarily, he is responsible for certain things. He has been more inaccurate than we expected. He has not been, you know, in command the last 3 weeks. But I do also think that a lot of it, much of it, is because he's running for his life.
Yes, he is. And there has been no sort of development. We're going to talk to DJ Moore about it. But do you feel like they are in better sync than they were to start the year?
No.
It's like a lot of these, it feels like a lot of people are on the field together for the first time.
It's gotten worse, and I think that's what happens when you struggle, when you don't have success. Success can build chemistry, which creates better communication, which enhances each relationship, and all of a sudden, that's how you develop team chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose, the opposite happens. You start to question things, your own decisions, your own instincts, and then maybe when a route is run one way and you throw the ball to the other way, you start to question, what was he thinking and whose fault is this? Because, oh, those boos are getting louder. It's a mess right now. It's a mess. We'll try to sift through the rubble and talk to the right people involved. Certainly a lot of reaction, because people want some answers as well in Chicago. I don't know if they're going to get them today, but I think ultimately we'll continue to talk about it. I would be surprised if Matt Eberflus meets the media and we come in here tomorrow and we're not discussing what he said in the way of change. I don't think they're going to fire the head coach, but I'd be really surprised if they don't make some alterations to the coaching staff.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.